Thank you. Welcome. Welcome to worship in the gathered and scattered community of Prairie Street Mennonite Church, where we believe that the earth and all its people belong to God. Here we affirm how good it is, how wonderful it is to live together in unity, where love and faith come together, where justice and peace join hands, where if we kept silent, these walls would shout aloud. In Sing the Story, number 40, let our mouths proclaim God's praise. Please stand as Kyle Weirich leads. Call to worship. The earth and all its people belong to God. How good it is, how wonderful to live together in unity, where love and faith come down together, where justice and peace join hands, where if Christ's disciples kept silent, these walls would shout aloud. Our lips, our hearts, our minds, O God, and everywhere where Jesus goes, we will follow. Zum dandela, Yesu. Let us pray. O Lord our God, in this act of worship, we give thanks for the unity which is already ours as Christians. We thank you that there is one body and one spirit, one hope, which belongs to our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. And we resolve by your grace that walking with all lowliness and meekness and forbearing one another in love, we may maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Please turn in the blue hymnal to number 1. What is this place? And those who are able, please stand.
What is this place where we are meeting, only ask?
same book, number 76. Praise, I will praise you, Lord.
Please stand in body or spirit as we confess our sins and affirm our faith. O Trinity of love, God in community, holy and one, look now on us who look to you and hear our prayer for our church. Where there is falseness, smother it by your truth. Where there is any coldness, kindle the flame of your love. Where there is joy and hope, free us to share it together and make us one as you are one. Amen. Dear ones, before God and all who are near and dear, we release anything we hold against one another. We regret the harm we have done. We stand beside the wrong in our lives and accept God's mercy-filled forgiveness and guidance in faith through our Lord Jesus. Now let us share Christ's peace with each other and the world. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. We have a little special thing we want to do this morning. We have at Prairie Street a long-standing relationship with Anabaptist Mennonite Biblical Seminary, which is a Mennonite seminary here in Elkhart. Sometimes there are students who join us for worship, and sometimes we have what we call interns, who are people who come and explore their gifts that God has given them for ministry. Sometimes we don't know those people, and so the period of time they spend with us, we have to learn to know them. But we have the privilege this whole year, starting now and through the end of the school year, to have Quinn Brennecke with us as our intern. So this will be a mutual time of learning together and sharing. Quinn already knows a lot about us, and we know some things about him. We will be evaluating him. He will be evaluating us. So look out. But we want to share gifts together, and we want to bless Quinn at the beginning of this journey. He's going to say just a few words himself, and then I'm going to ask you to raise your hand in prayer for Quinn as he starts this journey with us.
Good morning, and of course, I'm Quinn. If you haven't met me yet, I'm looking forward to getting to know everyone a little bit more as a person in the church, but also now as an intern. Buenos días a todas y a todos. Para mí, bueno, presentarme a ustedes y quiero conocerles un poquito más, especialmente ustedes que no nos conocemos bien al momento. And I'm looking forward to learning with you, specifically about what it means to become an intercultural church and to kind of look at the way we at Prairie Street are changing and evolving and looking to follow God's calling for us. And special thanks to you all who have, for the past few months, walked with me through some challenging things. And it's just been a joy and blessing to be a part of this church for these last few months, and I'm looking forward to hopefully being able to serve you all. So muchas gracias por acompañarme en esos meses anteriores que ha sido como muy difícil para mí. Quiero aquí en esta iglesia aprender un poquito más de cómo es ser una iglesia intercultural y ver cómo Dios nos está llamando a quizás algo nuevo en el futuro. So thank you all, and I'm looking forward to this.
I will serve as the point person for Quinn during this year, so if you have any questions or ideas or comments, you can let me know. Would you raise your hand in blessing for Quinn as we pray for him? Our gracious God, we thank you for all the gifts that you give your people and gifts that we have yet to explore. So we ask you to fill Quinn this year with your spirit, spirit of gifts and discernment, so that he might live into everything that you have for him. We ask you to bless us as God's people in this place as we walk with him during this year, and make this a time of mutual sharing and understanding and blessing for us all. In thy name, amen.
Now that we have commissioned Quinn, we want to commission another group within our congregation that's engaged in a special ministry within and on behalf of a Prairie Street. It's the Colossian Way group, and we'd like to have members of the Colossian Way group come forward. And these include Andrea Baker-Dean and Barbara Blue. Barbara can't be here this morning. And as I call your name, if you come up and join me, Barbara's in the hospital this morning. We'll hear just a little more about that during our sharing period. Carolyn Smith, David Miller, who is traveling away, Ellen, James, Joshua, Leo, Mildred, Osei, Rachel, and Tacy. This is the Colossian Way Group, which is a program of the Colossian Forum, out of Grand Rapids. It's an organization that more and more Mennonite churches are using to develop our capacity as churches to hold difficult conversations, to be able to listen, to understand, learn together how to engage difficult issues within the church that too often, unfortunately, become divisive and more harmful than helpful. And so the Colossian Way group that's standing before you will be meeting, as they have already this week for their first meeting. They'll be meeting on a weekly basis for 10 weeks, so through September and October through the first Tuesday in November, meeting for a period of 90 minutes, an hour and a half each Tuesday evening during this time period to follow a curriculum known as the Colossian Way. Again, as part of our goal here at Prairie Street, of learning how to engage in difficult conversations, how to develop our capacity to forbear differences, and hopefully model the way of Jesus in dealing with differences and witness the church that's built up. And so we want to uphold this group as they meet in these months. In October, as a part of our series that we're beginning today on making peace with conflict, they'll be sharing with us some of their testimonies of what they're learning as they are engaging these conversations together. And then in a second hour, we'll have an opportunity in October to engage them more. This is a group that's not making decisions around the difficult issue of sexuality, which is the focus of this group following this curriculum, but it will be paying attention to what emerges as the group engages the difficult questions, having difficult conversations around sexuality, which is a very important subject facing the church right now. And to pay attention to what emerges in our process, and then at the end of the process, we'll learn what next steps to take as a congregation. So let's commission them now. If you would please raise your hand and bless them. God, we are grateful for the opportunity to participate in the Colossian Way along with other Mennonite churches in the area. We pray that you would grant this group an extra measure of grace, of understanding, and of love, that as they engage difficult conversations together following this curriculum focused on sexuality, that this would be a learning experience for them and through them for us. We pray that you would lead them, that your Spirit would fill them, and that this would be a fruitful process for the congregation. Thank you for this opportunity to hold these conversations. Lead us, we pray, in the name of Christ. Amen. Thank you.
Children, come forward and, yes.
Just to give us all a little more insight into the Colossian Way, we're going to have a little video here, two-minute video, that describes kind of the where this is coming from. Because we are using this curriculum that's put together by a group based in Grand Rapids. And as Steve mentioned, there's churches throughout this area that are using it. So just to give you a little insight into what all we're going to be doing.
Gymnasium for spiritual growth. to get strong in Christian virtues like love and patience, you work those muscles. By loving those you might find hard to love, and be patient with those who test your patience. After the fire, that little pine cone can grow for up to 5,000 years, producing thousands of pine cones. Making sense takes time too. There are no shortcuts to spiritual maturity, but we've been given everything we need for life and godliness, including the fires of conflict, guaranteed to test our mettle. The world is longing to see a stronger, more beautiful church, a place where people practice what they preach, right here in the midst of the fire. The Colossian Way, truth and love held together. Learn more at ColossianWay.org.
Children, find your way forward to meet with Quinn.
Try something. So if there are any big kids, adults that want to join us up here, that could be helpful because we're going to do a demonstration. But before we start, I'm going to pass the basket around. And if you have something to put in it, a gift to our church, you can put it in there. And if not, you can touch it and give it a blessing. So I'm wondering if anyone heard earlier today in church what topic we're going to be talking about for the next month. Did you hear of a topic? Peace and conflict. What is conflict? Does anyone know what a conflict is?
A problem.
It's like a problem.
Fighting.
Fighting.
Between two or more.
Between two or more people. Sometimes in conflicts, people even get angry. Sometimes in conflicts, you don't even get angry. You're able to resolve the conflict without a lot of anger, but sometimes we do get angry. So today, after children's time, we're going to hear a passage from the Bible written to people who are having a conflict. And this was a letter, and it was given to a certain group of people that could not get along, even though both groups were trying to follow Jesus. There were the Jews, and there were the Gentiles, and both of them were trying to follow Jesus, but they weren't really good at resolving their conflicts together. So I thought we could try to act this out. So we're all going to stand up, and half of us are going to be Jews, and half of us are going to be Gentiles, and I'm wondering maybe the Jews can be over here, and the Gentiles can be over here. Maybe we need one more Jew. You can be over here. Yeah. Okay, so right now, you both are in conflict with each other, and I'm wondering, if you're in conflict, what do your hands look like? Are they open like this? Like, hi, can I give you a hug? Is that what you look like in conflict? No, this looks like more of a conflict pose, because it looks like you might, like, maybe you even have to fight or something, or say something mean to get your point across. So, if this is what you look like in conflict, remember, when we hear the Bible today, it's written to people who are having this conflict, the Jews and the Gentiles. And you're going to hear something, and I want you to listen to it. There is one body and one spirit. If you look at our group, does it look like we're one right now? How many does it look like we are? It looks like we're two groups. So if we're going to be one, how could we make ourselves look like one?
By
We might have to walk toward each other, and maybe we even have to hold each other's hand in a circle.
Maybe we need to round
others. Yeah. And now that we're standing in a circle and we're holding hands, did anyone notice what happened to your hand?
It's cold.
Well, it's cold. Maybe your hands were outside earlier. Can anyone even, like, if you're holding hands with the person next to you, can you even make this with your hand?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Wait, you can? Not really. Look, you're not even holding hands. If you want to hold hands, you have to keep your hands open a little bit. So when this letter that we're about to hear tells us that we are one body and one spirit, it's kind of calling us to open our hands and maybe even listen and try to get along with that other group that we can't sometimes get along with. So let's sit down, and we're going to try one more thing. When you hear the scripture, right now when we're done, they're going to read the scripture, and you're going to hear those words as, and remember what they are. One body and one. Good. Okay, so let's remember it. And when we listen to the scripture, I want you to try to hear those words. So one thing that might help us remember is by doing something with our hands. So everyone go like this. There's one body and there's one spirit. Okay, now you have to say it. Because I have the microphone. But I want the church to hear you say it, okay? I'll help you. I'll even whisper a little bit. There's
one body, one spirit.
So we're going to pray, and when we listen to the scripture, I want you to try to think about what does that mean if we're one body and one spirit. So let's pray together. God, we know that sometimes we don't get along. Sometimes we even know people in our lives that we just really don't think we can solve a conflict with. We even feel angry. But we also hear in this letter and that we find in the scripture that you call us, followers of Jesus, to be one, one body and one spirit. Please teach us how to do that. Amen. So now we're all going to stand up, and I don't know if you have seen this before, but there is a table in the back just for us, and we're all going to walk there together.
The scripture reading is Ephesians 4, 1 to 6. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Efesios capítulo 4, del 1 al 6. Yo, que estoy preso por causa del Señor, les ruego que vivan como es digno del llamamiento que han recibido y que sean humildes y mansos, y tolerantes y pacientes, unos con otros en amor. Procuren mantener la unidad del Espíritu en el vínculo de la paz.
There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all.
Así como ustedes fueron llamados a una sola esperanza, hay alguien y un cuerpo y un espíritu, un Señor, una fe, un bautismo y un Dios y Padre de todos, el cual está por encima de todos, actúa por medio de todos, y está en todos.
The word of the Lord.
Palabra del Señor.
The message this morning will be brought by Steve Thomas, our transitional pastor. Conflict in the Bible and our lives. Let us pray. Dear God, bless the words shared by your servant of the word, Steve. Help us not to fear, but to face conflict and rejoice in its resolution in love and peace through your holy presence in our life together. Amen.
This morning we begin a series, Making Peace with Conflict, as a part of one of our transitional goals for this fall, to develop our capacity to engage in conflict. Before we begin, just have a little bit of a survey. How many of us experience conflict in our lives? By a show of hands. Okay. Only one individual, okay, doesn't experience conflict. So for the rest of us, let's consider how we think about conflict, how we feel in conflict, and then how we engage it in our lives. And we'll do this in this series of here in a worship, September through October, and then during the same time, during second hour, September through October, we'll have an interactive, intergenerational time in the fellowship hall where we're learning to engage conflict. It will be kind of light and lively, so we'll have exercises such as what Quinn did with our children, only engaging all of us. How many of you who raised your hand in conflict like conflict? Raise your hand. There are a couple who like conflict. If you like sports, you like conflict because sports, any athletic competition, is actually a controlled conflict. And so it's interesting to think about the important place that the athletics or sports play in our culture as conflicts. And here's one about how we think about conflict. Is conflict good or bad? If you think conflict is good, raise your hand. If you think that conflict is bad, raise your hand. Some of you are raising both of your hands, okay? And we'll want to explore this a little more in second hour when we'll take an inventory about how we think about conflict and how we experience it in our lives. And here's the one about how we think about conflict theologically. Is conflict the result of creation or a result of the fall? If you think that conflict is inherent in creation as God created the world, raise your hand. If you think that conflict is a result of the fall, raise your hand. Okay, so we're mixed on this. And hopefully we'll see in this message this morning that conflict is a normal, natural part of human relationships, and it's a part of creation and not the fall. So we'll explore that in just a bit. We've heard the expression, birds of a feather flock together, right? We'd like to think that that the church is like this. Birds of a feather flocking together and like these starlings all facing in the same direction, right? Or like starlings, and this is, I think, find this to be really cool every time I see this. We like to think that the church, like these starlings, birds of a feather flocking together, not only face in the same direction, but fly in such amazing formations. But in reality, I think churches, are much more like this. Birds of different feathers flocking together. Mm-hmm. Birds of all colors, stripes, and species gather together in one place, who have as a common center following Jesus. But after that, we have lots of differences. And when you have birds of a feather, different birds of a feather flocking together and have such differences, what do we get? Conflict. Lots of conflict. That's simply part of life and relationships. And so we have this kind of phenomena where birds of different feathers sometimes have a hard time flocking together, sitting together, being together on the same branch. Hey, buddy, are you familiar with the terms birds of a feather? Suggesting that maybe you find another place. We've seen this in the larger Mennonite church, where there have been divisions and birds of a feather grouping together. Some congregations who have broken away from the denomination. I remember the original letter that was sent out in this particular region, signed by church leadership of several congregations in the Goshen-Elkhart area, who made the appeal that we need to gather with the like-minded. In other words, let birds of a feather flock together, and if you're different, maybe it will be better that we're on different branches. And so we see this happening. So I'd like to have us take a look at conflict in the Bible a little more closely. Now, first of all, is to realize that what God desires is that we live in love, we live in peace and love. And to remember, and we'll do an exercise next week, where our identity as beloved children of God is a basis for how we look upon each other, how we relate to each other in conflict. John makes it very clear in one of his letters that we are beloved children of God. That is who we all are. We are created in the image of God. And on that basis, we are sisters and brothers in a one human family. And that becomes the basis upon which we live in love and peace. The problem is that with our differences, we often experience conflict, making it difficult to live in love and peace. And secondly, to realize that love is simply part of creation, that conflict is neither good nor bad. It simply is. What makes conflict good or bad is how we respond in the outcome of conflict in our lives. And we see this in our scripture. We see already in creation, inherent within creation, that conflict will be a part of it. Where we are created with differences, we are created with self-determination and freedom. And when you put that together, there will necessarily be a conflict. So by the time we get to Genesis 3, we find a conflict between the two brothers. And any of us who have been raised in a family know that conflict is simply part of family life. If you were a parent, you likely deal with conflict almost every day in your life. Yesterday, I had some very significant conflict that involved conflict with Linda. Conflict is almost a daily occurrence in homes when you have children or simply trying to get along in marriage. And that we see that conflict becomes sin at the point when there's disobedience to what God calls us to do, or where there's a violation or disrespect or something unloving toward another. That's where a problem comes in. So this is a real important point, that we realize that the concern is not whether we experience conflict, but how we experience and how we respond. And depending on our response, conflict can become an opportunity for something that is good and for growth, or it can be something destructive, as we see in the conflict between Cain and Abel. If handled well, conflict can become an occasion where we learn together, where we grow in understanding, can be new energies for relational life, and we can witness the power of creative love. A few years ago, Christianity Today did a major survey of how churches engage conflict and what happens when churches experience conflict. And as we know, many churches have a difficult time with conflict and experience a negative impact where it becomes divisive. But in more cases, Christianity Today in their survey found that conflict became an opportunity for Christians together with their differences to learn how to be together, to abide one another, to practice love and grace. And as we saw with the Colossian forum video about the Colossian way process, where love and truth are held together, and that conflict more often becomes not so much a problem to be feared, but an opportunity to be embraced for an occasion for growth. And when we see of conflict in the Bible, it's not an isolated occurrence. You know, from all the way through the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, we find that conflict is pervasive. It's simply part of our story that we have in our scripture. And I love the fact that our scripture is so honest about what it means to be in relationship together, that conflict is simply a part of our relationships. We not only have this from the very beginning between Cain and Abel, the founding family of Israel is just full of conflict. So read Genesis 37, the chapter 50. We have this long narrative, the longest story that we have in the Bible of Joseph and his brothers and kind of what unfolds in the conflict between them. And we're at the very end of that conflict, we see that how what his brothers meant for evil, God can use for good. And that somehow in the economy of God's grace and love, the conflict, even this violent conflict between Joseph and his brothers, is taken for something and made into something good. By the time we get to the New Testament, we find that Jesus' own disciples were often quarreling, having conflicts, reacting to each other. They had a hard time getting along. And consider that who Jesus brought together. Those who were really loyal to Israel, and you bring a zealot into the mix, a tax collector into the mix. Jesus deliberately, I think, was bringing people together with radical differences, that this will be an occasion through fire, as we saw in this video, to test them, and in testing them, form the capacity to be able to practice Christian love with one another. We might think that once you progress in Christian faith, you reach a point where maybe you master the ability to deal with conflict. So we might think that Paul, formed as he was, devout as he was, trained as he was, would be a master of dealing with conflict as a mature Christian. But we find in the book of Acts that there was a falling out between Paul and Barnabas, that these two devout brothers who have a love for Jesus and a love for the church had a falling out, that the conflict between them became something destructive and where it broke their relationship for a period. Jesus anticipates that we will have such conflicts and gives his followers something of a grievance procedure in chapter 18 of Matthew. And in Matthew 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, anticipates that his disciples, his followers, will experience conflict, will struggle with anger in particular, as Quinn referred to. And that because we're members one of another, that we have a responsibility for how we relate to one another within Christian community, and knowing that we do so before a watching world who's looking and listening for how Christians following Jesus deal with conflict. So Jesus in Matthew 18 provides a very specific process for dealing with conflict. And then we realize that God can speak through conflict, that we're not left alone. Jesus in Matthew 18 and in John 16 refers to the presence of God, the presence of the Spirit, who guides Christians in conflict. that they might find ways of dealing with differences that could become destructive in ways that are redemptive and constructive, and to realize that conflict can become an opportunity for fresh revelations for God, new directions for relating together. And we'll look at this more closely in several weeks when we come to Acts 15, the Council of Jerusalem, was dealing with a very serious conflict, the conflict that Quinn pointed to in our children's moment between Jews and Gentiles and differences that divided them into two groups, and how coming together, something new was revealed by the Spirit as they engage in this, but it was not an easy process. And to realize that our aim in all of this is reconciliation and peace, that the Scripture anticipates that conflicts can break relationships, it can be destructive, and so we're given a call to be agents of reconciliation, the biblical word for restoration of relationships. And Paul makes it clear in Ephesians 2 and 2 Corinthians 5 that reconciliation, the repair or the restoration of broken relationships with God and with one another and with different people groups, is at the very heart of the gospel and of our life together. And it's all about bringing into being, in place of conflict, God's shalom. And finally, that we're called to have a peaceable character. We might be highly trained with skills. We might be really trained in, say, mediation process. We might know what we are to do. But having the capacity to actually embody the kind of the qualities and the virtues of a peacemaker is something different. And so while we want to kind of give ourselves to learning and mastering certain skills for engaging conflict, even more important is paying attention to what the Spirit is forming within us, that we develop those qualities, that we form those virtues, such as being forbearing, patient, ready to forgive, and humility, that these are even more important than are the skills. The word, the single word that is before the Mennonite church of really pulling all this together is that capacity to practice forbearance with one another based on the scripture reading that we had from Ephesians 6 or 4, 1 to 6, where we have this appeal with all humility, gentleness, patience, bear with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bonds of peace. And what's the basis of that appeal? Quinn already pointed to it with her children, that there is one body and one Spirit. But Paul adds five other things just to drive home that point of our oneness. There's one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. Asserting seven times this word one to make it clear that while we have all of this, all these differences, we are one in who we are with God and who we're called to be together. You will see placed around the church in several locations this poster, agreeing and disagreeing in love. This was a model that was adopted in 1995 by the Mennonite Church at a time when conflict was beginning to become more and more divisive in the larger church, breaking up the body of Jesus, where we were forgetting that we are one body and one Spirit. And so this process that's described in detail with the piece that was given to you with your bulletin outlines a process of dealing redemptively or creatively, constructively when conflict occurs in our life. This is a model that our leadership task group is putting to the congregation to adopt as a practice. It's not if, but when we experience conflict, that we're really clear, here's what we do as followers of Jesus, and here are the steps of how we directly go to each other. And so these are the basic steps that we'll find in this, of where we go together. Rather than, as too often happens, where we talk about each other rather than with or to each other. And so we go directly to those that we disagree with, and we avoid behind-the-back criticism. Secondly, we go in gentleness, patience, and humility rather than in judgment. And we place the problem between us, not at the step or the other, but recognizing that we all have a part in the experience of conflict. The third step that's put forward in this process is that we listen carefully, we summarize, we check out what is heard before responding. So many of our conflicts are based on misunderstanding. Sometimes there are very clear differences with clear understandings, but so often misunderstanding is a big part of it. This cuts close to home for me. In my larger family, we're experiencing severe conflict that has broken apart our family, and where members of our family are estranged and not on speaking terms. This is a very profound and painful conflict for me, largely based on misunderstanding and a refusal to come together to address these face to face. And so a lot of the times, this is what we have to do, is to overcome our tendency to judge, to hold misunderstandings and negative feelings, be able to suspend these judgments and come together and to act in non-defensive, non-reactive ways. And then when we do have problems, and I like that was a word that came up for in the children's moment. What is a conflict? By definition, is a problem between two individuals. And to see it simply as a problem to be solved with these steps that are outlined, where we identify the interests, needs, and issues. We find options to be able to respond to those in a way that kind of win-win options, and where we evaluate these options to meet the needs and really to satisfy the interests of and preserve our relationships. We find ways of collaborating, cooperating, and just working together. And this is what we're going to be doing in our series in the second hour. I know I not only experienced a conflict in a pretty severe way in our family, but 2 years ago I had a falling out with a very close friend working together. We had some differences in where we had some hard feelings that emerged in our relationship. Our conflict became so difficult that it was very hard to even speak with each other. And so there was a long period of silence, and in that silence, bitterness crept in. Judgment crept in, resentment took hold, and our relationship really suffered. Neither of us spoke to each other for many, many months. And here we were, two ministers who were not practicing what we knew to be, you know, the steps that we were to take. The conflict was so overwhelming that they just kind of reduced us to these common negative reactions. And through praying for the Spirit to be at work, to help bring healing, became a pathway to actually have a face-to-face conversation. And after many months of being estranged and allowing resentment to creep into our relationship, we finally sat down and we had that face-to-face. And where we reached understanding, we found healing, and we agreed to these three practices that I think might be helpful for those of us who struggle with conflicts. That of contact. And this is what my friend and I agreed to, three practices. The first of us, contact, that simply having contact with each other rather than avoiding each other or pushing the other off the branch, as we saw in our cartoon, helps them maintain that personal connection. Apart from which, relationships drift apart and become distant. That our face-to-face encounters are critical. The second practice, communication, that conflict isn't enough. We need also communication, understand each other, and to address differences, conflict, needs, and feelings. This is what we wrote up and agreed to practice, contact as well as communication. And having these as shared practices would be helpful when we experience the inevitable difficulty that comes from working together. And eventually, the two of us agreed to adopt Marshall Rosenberg's nonviolent communication model, which will be introduced to us the last Sunday in our series when Melinda Berry from the seminary will present on this model for use in congregations. And finally, we said it's not enough to simply have contact and communication, but to pay attention to the spirit that we embody and we bring to our relationship, to be able to practice compassion. That simply following procedures doesn't cut it or go far enough, that we need to pay attention to the spirit we bring into our practice. And for this, we want to commend for each other loving compassion, which calls for patience, empathy, and understanding, and along with compassion, having gratitude to put things in proper perspective. And so I am grateful for the Spirit moving us to finally have that difficult conversation, to make peace with this conflict, and to come up with this practice, which we hold together. And as today, I think we are closer than ever, and so I'm grateful for how God was able to use something that was difficult for our own good and growth. And so our second hour series, we hope to have most of us here from grade 6 on up, so this will be an intergenerational, something interactive. I'll have a number of activities. Some Sundays you might wish you brought your tennis shoes, such as today, because this will be, sometimes we'll get physical. I brought a couple of foam bats that will be used in exercise during second hour that hopefully we'll have some fun while learning how to make with peace with conflict. So come for second hour. Let's join our hearts in prayer. God, we actually give thanks for conflict as an opportunity for your spirit to be at work for our own good and growth, new understandings, and for our formation in our witness before a watching world. We pray that your spirit would form within us the capacity to deal well with conflict, and that as followers of Jesus, you would help us to live in his love, and help us to practice what Paul calls us to maintain the unity of the spirit in the bonds of peace. We pray this in his name. Amen.
Green Sing the Journey Book, number 31, 3-1. He came down. And those who are able, please stand. Green Book, number 72, 72. 2:6, you are salt for the earth. And those who are able, please stand.
Please come down to the fellowship hall, join us for coffee, and stay for a second hour this morning. Anyone sixth grade or we've had a request for mature fifth graders if they would like to participate. You can do that too. Now receive the benediction. One is the body and one is the head. One is the spirit by whom we are led. One God and Father, one faith and one call. For all, amen.